Els pues bans.
As bold as lion. As bold as lions.
As bold as lions.
You're listening to the As Bold as Lions podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the As Bold as Lions podcast. As always, this is your host, Derek Charles Johnson, and it is so good to spend the next few minutes talking together about God's Word. We've got a lot of ground to cover today, so I don't want to spend too much time setting up this episode. I just want to remind you that we are talking about encounters with Jesus and the fact that we are never the same after meeting Him. Today is an interesting encounter, and it takes place at what is called the Transfiguration. Transfigured is a big word meaning shown in radiant glory. Now, before you say, wait, is that really an encounter with Jesus? That's really more of a moment in which His glory is revealed, and you know what really changed as a result of this? Well, I would say yes, I agree with you, and yes, it is a moment of His glory being shown. But it is also an encounter because up until this event happens, the disciples had not really seen the full glory of Christ. Remember, they had walked with Him, they saw many miracles, they sat under His teachings, but they still hadn't really seen Him as He is in the presence of the Father. So the Transfiguration is really a watershed moment for the disciples, and it's only a select few. It's Peter, James, and John that get to see this. And lo and behold, Moses and Elijah also show up. So what is the takeaway for those who had this experience? And what are some of the takeaways for us? Well, let's go to Matthew 17. This is verses 1 through 13 and read this account. And after 6 days, Jesus took with Him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And He was transfigured before them, and His face shone like the sun, and His clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Him. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him. When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, Rise and have no fear. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead. And the disciples asked Him, Then why do the scribes say that first Elijah must come? He answered, Elijah does come, and he will restore all things. But I tell you that Elijah has already come, and they did not recognize Him, but did to Him whatever they pleased. So also the Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands. Then the disciples understood that He was speaking to them of John the Baptist. Okay, so there are several things we can note here for Peter, James, and John bearing witness to the Transfiguration. This is kind of just a rapid fire blow-by-blow of what happens here. First of all, this is a literal mountaintop experience. It says Jesus led them up a high mountain. They're by themselves. Secondly, Jesus was shown in glory. His face was bright like the sun. His clothes were white. In Mark's account, in Mark 9, verse 3, it says His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. So just try to get that image in your head. Next, we see Moses and Elijah appear, and they're talking with Jesus. We don't know what they're talking about, but they're having a conversation apparently with Him. Next, Peter, he's always the one with an idea, says, Let's stay here. this is good. We can build shelters on this mountain. I kind of take this as him saying, why leave this place? Let's kind of hunker down for a while. Let's remain here. Next, God breaks into that and says, this is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. This is kind of the climactic moment of this whole thing and probably the reason why they were brought up here. Next, we see the disciples falling down in fear and they're not raised up again until Jesus touches them. And by this time, the scene's over. When they kind of get up, apparently this whole scene is kind of ended. Finally, they walk down off of the mountain and Jesus, he tells them, don't tell anybody of this event right now. Wait till I am raised from the dead. And he also explains this idea of Elijah coming. It's both in John the Baptist, kind of a person who takes on the spirit of Elijah, and also in the Son of Man, believing this to be kind of the would be the return of Jesus at his second coming, that this is kind of a foreshadow of Elijah coming once again. All right, so there are a lot of things that we could unpack here. And, ultimately, I just want to look into what this scene meant overall for Peter, James, and John, and at the same time, what it means for us. And these are just some takeaways that I get, but there could be other things certainly as well. I love this encounter because really, there is nothing else like it in Scripture. You know, certainly the disciples and later Paul, they have more encounters kind of similar to this after Jesus' resurrection. I think there's an aspect of Jesus that seems to change when he is raised from the dead and he appears to the disciples and he appears at his ascension. It seems like there's a certain change, perhaps in his appearance that is different than before. And also when Paul, as Saul, is on the road to Damascus and he is met by this blinding light. There's some similarities there where this seems to be like kind of Jesus's true essence, his true, state of being is shown. And we're going to get into that here a little bit. So first takeaway is that we recognize from this story that Jesus is fully human and he is fully God. So back to that idea that the disciples walked and talked with Jesus. They understood his humanity, but up until this point, they hadn't seen a whole lot of this radiant presence that he displays. Jesus is transfigured, and it's Jesus as who he really is. Jesus walking in bodily form, walking the earth is also Jesus as he is. I mean, it's not like it's somehow, something that he's not, but he's laying aside his glory. Truth be told, if Jesus was to walk around in our streets, in our neighborhoods, or come into our homes, and just in his full glory, who of us would be able to stand, right? That would be just, we'd all be on our faces, just in worship and just the radiance of it. So the transfiguration is a moment in which we understand that Jesus, yes, he's human, but he is fully God. He is fully divine. Secondly, Jesus's ministry is validated by the Father. In this moment, the disciples are afraid. They're trying to figure out what to do. And Peter feels like he has to do something. Like there's this honest expression in a moment so holy. Just this idea of somehow I must serve you, my Lord. I must bring you honor in this moment. But really the response that you and I and he as well would honestly have to be worship. Simply just worshiping. And sometimes that's hard to do. And sometimes even just being still in the presence of the Lord is a hard piece to incorporate into our daily routines and even into our quiet times where we're trying to kind of just think upon the Lord and spend time in his presence. That can be hard. So I think Peter, in a way, is trying to fill that and do something with maybe that awkwardness that he feels there. But this whole line of thinking is interrupted by the Father, and this is where Jesus's ministry is validated. He says, this is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So this is God saying, I endorse my son. I love him. I am pleased with him. Listen to him, follow him, do what he says. So for those who question the idea of the Trinity or the agreement between Father and Son and Holy Spirit, this verse and this whole encounter just shoots holes in that argument. Jesus is one with the Father, and Jesus brings glory to the Father. Interestingly enough, this event mirrors much of Jesus' own baptism in Matthew 3:17. This is when he goes to John the Baptist and is baptized. Similar language here. The Father says, "This is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased." It is clear here that the Father's heart is for the Son. Our final takeaway from this whole transfiguration encounter and event is that someday we will see Jesus as he is, fully radiant in the glory of the presence of the Father. Mountaintop experiences, unfortunately, do not continue on forever. Eventually, we come down off the mountain. We may even go into the valley for a while after being on the mountain. But the fact does not change that this is Jesus as he is fully, and we will be seeing him in this way as we look towards heaven. I don't believe the disciples fully understood it then because they hadn't yet seen Jesus crucified, buried, and raised. But we have the benefits of seeing before and after and realizing that when Christ was raised, what happened at the transfiguration was given the credibility and it was then to be told, it was to be shared. And Peter does this. He writes later of this event. He bears witness to its truth. And I want to read from this account in 2 Peter chapter 1. This is verses 16 through 18. It says, "We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain," talking about the transfiguration. The power and majesty of the risen Christ is real, and we will one day see him face to face, sitting at the right hand of the Father, fully glorified as the Lamb of God. Amen. What I hope today's encounter does for us is remind us that we live in that internal truth. That eternal truth that we walk with boldness then because of it. We sometimes focus heavily on the human side of Jesus and neglect the power and authority that he has as fully God. It's not to say that he was not human, and the Bible is clear that he experienced the same things we do. He experienced emotions, happiness, sadness, anger, and he experienced physical pain. He did not shield himself from these things by being divine. He took them upon himself, and at the same time, he laid his life down to sacrifice himself for us. Guys, I am again grateful to share these podcasts with you, and I hope they encourage and bless your heart. I know that as we personally encounter Jesus, we are changed. It is ongoing. It's a daily thing, and it's a process of transformation and renewal. But we cannot sit in the presence of our Savior and not go away somehow different. I think the transfiguration was like that for Peter, James, and John. They needed to see this in order to be part of building the early church. We also need to see Christ so that we can be part of building his kingdom. Guys, I love you. I can't wait until next time. Until then, let's read our closing verse. This is Ephesians 5:15-17. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is." God bless.
Hey guys, this is Derek Charles Johnson. You have been listening to the As Bold as Lions podcast. I am a blogger, a songwriter, an artist. And if you've been encouraged by this podcast, please go ahead and subscribe and share. And head over to DerekCharlesJohnson.com. For more encouraging content. God bless.